Here's what's coming up on today's show.
When you're saving or investing or setting aside money for later, that's a sacrifice. But when all of a sudden you've got a statement of financial purpose, it may not feel so much like a sacrifice. It might seem more like that's exciting.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, hello and welcome back into the Retirement Cafe. I am Ben George, along with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. Today, we're going to talk about the power of having a statement of financial purpose and how it can help you improve your financial decision-making and your well-being. Welcome in, Dan and Brent. Why is this topic important to discuss today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is families seem to be more stressed than ever around money. You know, number one, I think, honestly, I think Facebook's probably created a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, the fear of missing out, vacations, big
comparing.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like you're talking about vacations and all that stuff, and people just not prioritizing what's important to them. They're probably prioritizing what's important to somebody else.
Yeah. It's all about looking like other people you like. And it's just interesting because, you know, I think we've gotten way off target when it comes to, like, you know, why we do what we do with our money.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to talk about it because, you know, the big thing is like when you start developing this, you know, statement of financial purpose, which we're going to talk a lot about today, it could be a game changer. I mean, it really can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you, what it's designed to do is just give you clarity, right? On what's really important to you. And is that where you want to allocate your resources?
Right. Right. Yeah. We want, you know, the goal of this really is to help you understand how this can create more meaning and fulfillment around your money, you know, which I think everybody really wants, but we just get off base. We get, you know, we get distracted, and we're going to talk about that because those distractions are kind of sabotaging us.
Yes.
Right. And causing all kinds of like relationship issues and all kinds of problems. And so, you know, this, hopefully this will be really good and give you some ideas how maybe you can turn your focus to something more, you know, more around your the things that are important to you.
Right.
Because we just don't seem to be doing that very well.
No.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation today and learning more about the statement of financial purpose. If you have questions for Dan and Brent, who are both certified financial planners at Avery Wealth, you can always call 517-783-1695 or just log on, averywealth.com. All right, so let's begin with the question then that everyone is asking. What exactly is statement of financial purpose?
Isn't that great? Yeah. I love it because it's a fancy sentence,
it is,
isn't it?
It is a really fancy thing. I mean, generally, it's a sentence or two. It could be longer, but it's focused on what truly matters to you.
Yeah.
Right? So what is the most important thing? Like, what is the root of why you're doing the things you're doing with money?
Yeah, I love the word purpose, and purpose happens to be in there, right?
Yeah.
What's your purpose? You know, you start thinking about, you know, that's what Brent and I kind of were talking about, like, you're making a decision to send, like, save money or spend money, right?
Yes.
You're making a decision on how you handle your resources every day. We make hundreds of choices around money, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the statement of financial purpose is basically a simple kind of, like we said, sentence or two that's going to lay out why you're doing those things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the goal. It's, you know, it's not necessarily a goal. Like a retirement date or something like that. It's more about the why. Right?
Yeah, like like as an example, if you said, "Hey, well, I want to retire at 62."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why do you want to retire at 62? You know, what's the reason? Because generally, there's a lot deeper reason than just "Oh, that sounds like a good age," right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Because most people would be, well, because that's when I'm supposed to retire, right?
Yeah.
That's when Social Security becomes available. Well, that's not really why you do all the things you do, right? Maybe it's, you know, that you have new grandchildren and you want to be close to them and you want to move. Who knows what that reason is, right?
Yeah.
But that's more of the why than some date stamped in time, right?
Yeah.
Or some number that you have to, I want to be worth $3 million or whatever, you know, who knows what the number is. But that's not what we're getting at here. It's the why behind what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. The why and your priorities in life. So we always talk to people and we help people create these things because it is a little bit of a process, right? But the thing is, it should be really personal to you. You don't want to copy your friends. Oh, that sounds good. Because the thing is it should inspire you, because you think about when you're making good decisions around money that are really supporting your long-term values, it takes sacrifice, right? Because we always know we can like go get that brand new fancy car, or we can save extra money. That would be an example, right? Well, your statement of financial purpose as it's laid out would drive those decisions, right?
Right.
And drive those sacrifices and really long-term help you achieve that financial well-being that we're all really kind of looking for.
Yeah.
Even though we have funny ways of getting there. And we do have some examples, right?
Yeah. So one example would be living a debt-free life with a focus on experiences with my family, primarily outdoors.
Yeah.
So it's very defined, right? So they're creating memorable times together, right? Is kind of what this is, outdoors. And so in order to do that, like you probably have to limit your debt, or you may have some other things that have to happen. And obviously debt, being debt-free, is important to this
yeah.
particular.
No, I think a good family. example of that is they might be like, okay, if that was a statement of financial purpose for you, I bet you would be looking and going, boy, one thing I'm not going to do is have a $250 a month cable package.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because that doesn't fit in with that
right.
at all.
Right.
Like, I want to free up money to be able to do things, like maybe go on vacations and do stuff outdoors and hiking and skiing and whatever, golfing. So, again, can't have everything, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so that gets back to what you're talking about is like, then you don't want to allocate that money towards that cable. You want to allocate it towards what you're trying to achieve. And so you can always look back and be like, okay, is this money going to where what we're trying to achieve?
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple others, just one, maintain simple financial strategies that I understand to remove financial stress in my life. You know, that's a simpler one, right? That's somebody that's like probably just wants to keep things easy. You know, they don't want to get into all these, you know, complicated things and stuff. But, you know, overall, there's another one. Maintain a high savings rate and low debt. I like this one, actually. Maintain a high savings rate and low debt so that if my priorities change later in life, I can be flexible and able to shift my attention to what is most important to me then.
Yes.
Which, I mean, you think about that. Like, that's somebody that's saying, I don't really know exactly what my long-term picture might look like.
Right.
But I sure don't want to be tied down and not be able to make that change later if needed.
Yes.
You know?
That's great.
Yeah, that is great. And it kind of gives you just a better idea of what that actually is, that statement of financial purpose. So what are some of the ways that a person can actually get started creating their own statement of financial purpose?
Yeah, I think the first thing is it really takes some reflection on your values and priorities, right? And one thing is, I always thought, like, look at your calendar. Right?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Look at where you're spending time.
Yeah.
You know, and that should give you a picture of your priorities. Now, it may be something that you look at and go, oh, it might be negative.
Yeah. Yeah, you may say, wow, I'm spending way too much time doing something that I really don't enjoy that much.
Yeah.
Right? But a lot of times, I mean, people do what's important to them, right? Like, they'll spend their time doing the things that are really important. So it is a great place. And so, and that's the point. Like, you want to look at what's really, really important to you in life. That's kind of where you want to start from.
Yeah. Yeah. I think common things are like, oh, my kids or my family. Yes. It could be some charity or, you know, foundation that you're really involved with, right? It could be your faith. Like, there's lots of things that you can consider that are kind of core values for people, right?
Yeah.
And those are all things that, and it's very personal, right?
Yeah.
One thing that I think is always a good kind of approach, because just to get you thinking of things, like, you can go on Google or some of the, I mean, pretty much any web search engine and say, give me a list of values.
Yeah.
And it just starts, it doesn't you think it helps you like start
oh,
thinking?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so that's, it's interesting because that's what I think I mentioned that to you, like the ChatGPT, I put that in there, like, give me a comprehensive list of values, and it spits out 50, and then you can ask for more, end up with about 100. And so you can just kind of look through that list and think, oh, you know, well, this one kind of stands out to me. That's important. And then start narrowing things down.
Yeah. And grab five or 10,
yeah,
right? Or
yep.
Maybe five's enough. But, you know, one of the things that we've done too that I think's interesting, and you might have, if you've listened, you might have heard these things before, but, you know, the question of what would you do if you had 6 months to live?
Yeah.
If you knew you had 6 months left of healthy living, what would you do with your time? You know, it's kind of a deep question.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's really important to, you know, to talk, to think that through for yourself, have a conversation with your spouse about that, because you can really start to formulate what's really important to you if you do that. And the other one, what would you, you know, what would you want your future self to be?
Yeah. Yeah. Because so often we look in the mirror and we're like, man, I want to do more. Yeah. I want to be more.
Yeah.
Well, your money choices really often give you the freedom to be able to do some of those things.
Yes.
And so the one thing that I'll say about this, and Brent and I have talked a lot about it, as you write your statement of financial purpose, first and foremost, the first run is a crappy rough draft. Like, yeah. Who cares? You're just getting started, right? And it's ever changing. But the big thing you want is you want it to be impactful on you. You want it to look at it and go, you know what? When you read it, you want to get some emotion, right?
Yes.
Where it's going to actually help you frame your decisions. So,
very good. Then what, after you create this, what impact can it actually have then? What meaning can it give you?
Oh, man.
I mean, there's just think through, like Dan mentioned it earlier, there's so many choices each and every day that we make around money, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have a pretty well-defined statement of financial purpose, and you're making, I mean, obviously, you go to the grocery store, you're probably not going to pull, you know, like look back at your statement of financial purpose. But if you're going to make a big purchase, does that fit with what you're trying to do, right? Like, you know, you need a new car. Mm-hmm. Well, you probably have several different choices, and they all probably mean a lot of different options for you financially. Like, is the shiny new Mercedes going to help fulfill part of your statement of financial purpose for your family if you're pushing it to buy that?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
Right. But a lot of people wouldn't think about how that impacts their overall situation. Right.
Yep.
They just do it.
Yep. No question. David Bach, who's written quite a few books, he focuses on this a lot. And, you know, like I know in his Smart Couples Finish Rich, which we didn't talk a lot about, but the advantage of doing it together with your spouse, right? Yeah. So everything's included. But I think the thing is, it gives you a lens to make those decisions like you're talking about. And the other thing that I think is interesting is that when you're saving or investing or setting aside money for later, that's a sacrifice. But when all of a sudden you've got a statement of financial purpose, it may not feel so much like a sacrifice. It might seem more like that's exciting.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've got that emotion that this is going to allow me to live the life that I want.
Right. Right.
It's not a sacrifice. It's a great benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because you're pushing your resources to the things that are really important to you and not wasting them on a bunch of things that you don't really care about. Because everybody does that.
Yep.
I mean, I don't care who you are. You know, you go to Meijer or Sam's or whatever and you end up walking out of there with stuff you don't need.
No doubt.
And so, I mean, having this and having priorities and really understanding what those priorities are to you and your family is just, it's a game, like Dan said at the beginning, it's a game changer because it really helps you focus all your resources on the things that are most important.
Yeah. And one thing we want to spend a little bit of time is talking about couples, because this is such a huge challenge in relationships, right? How we handle our money, because we're all different. And we know there's what, 50%, I think it's still about the same, 50% of marriages in the U.S. end in divorce. And a huge root cause of a lot of divorces is money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's because it's, you feel like you're sometimes pulling against one another to get, you know, because, well, I want it for this or I want it for that. And you might be able to achieve both of them, right? If you really put some time and energy into understanding where the other person's coming from.
Yeah, I think taking the time to work together as a couple to kind of creating that statement of financial purpose, one thing it does, number one, it's going to be a blended purpose. It's not going to be just yours. It's not going to be just your spouse's. It's going to be blended, which is a good thing. But the other thing it does is it allows you to have like common ground to talk about decisions, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're not disappointed. Like, you know, you might want to do something or want something, you want to buy something, and your spouse like reminds you, hey, is this really in line? And you're like, no, you know, and it's like, you know that it's not the right thing to do, but having that as a basis to talk about it, that's a whole different conversation than you bouncing off your spouse and being like, you always want to buy stupid things.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. And so, like, I mean, think of like an example. You know, maybe one person is more like, well, you know, maybe who knows what their circumstances are, but they really want to do things now because their attitude is that, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of people like that, right? But maybe the other person is on the other side and they're like, yeah, but I mean, I have to have stability and I have to work towards financial independence. Well, you can create a statement of financial purpose that says, hey, we want to create memories today while we're focusing on stability and financial independence. I mean, that can be both.
Yep.
Right. And then you can go back and look at it and be like, yeah, that's going to be a great experience. We should do it. But where else are we going to pull from? You know? And so you can do both,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't have to be one or the other. And if you have something written that helps you make that decision together, you are so much farther ahead.
No doubt. It's funny. And I've been married, it'll be 23 years here in a couple of months, but before we got married, we went through this marriage preparation, and they basically force you to talk about all kinds of things, but like kids, right? And money, and you know, and what's amazing is that I don't care how well you think you know your spouse, when you're forced to have those conversations, you're going to learn some new things, yeah. and you're going to be more understanding of why they feel certain ways about things, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because the reason that marriage preparation exists is to try to, you know, avoid divorce, right? Because, you know, I've talked to people that have been married for several years and they've never had any of these conversations right. around money or, you know, these types of things. And, you know, I feel like if you can force that conversation, I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean that, you know, it's going to be a good thing. And you're going to create.
I mean, pull out that list that we were just talking about. Going on ChatGPT or Google, I mean, you can get a list of values
mm-hmm.
and go through it with your spouse and just be like, hey, I'm going to highlight, you know, 8 to 10 that are important to me. Why don't you do the same? First of all, you're probably going to find that you have some in common.
Right.
And you're going to have some that are not in common.
Yep.
Right. But that's a great start just between the two of you. And then have a conversation about it and whittle it down to a couple of really, really important values and build your statement around it.
Yep.
Yeah, some great impact for sure that it can have on you. So you hear this and you say, okay, the statement, financial purpose sounds great. I want to get started on this. So what are some ways I can actually implement this?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is that this should then lead to the next steps.
Yeah.
So once you basically have the statement of financial purpose, number one's like Brent was saying earlier, when you're making decisions, keep that top of mind.
Right.
Right. That's implementation. That's going to help you make better decisions. But everybody has, like, they need to create some action steps, right? Some things that go with it. So, you know, in order to fulfill that, what are the actual, you know, measurable things that you need to do on an annual basis?
Right.
Right? So one of those, as an example, may be, oh, I'm going to fully fund my 401k each year, right? That right. might be an example.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's going to help me, you know, number one, you know, start building that net worth so I have the, you know, I have a choice whether I work or not, right?
Yeah.
Making work optional. What are some other ones?
Maybe somebody, the one that you gave that was a great example of a statement of financial purpose had to do with having no debt, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe it's, hey, I'm going to pay down all my credit card debt and then I'm going to cut up my credit cards or I'm going to, you know, I had a friend of mine that I went to college with that had a credit card when he was in college. I don't know if I've ever told you this before or not, but I thought it was hilarious at the time. And it's genius now. And he literally put it in a block of ice in his freezer. And the reason that he did it is he was like, by the time it thaws, I know I won't want that thing anymore. And so he legitimately did that. He had it if he ever needed it, really, really needed it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was funny. So maybe you don't have to cut them up, but just put them in a block of ice.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's awesome.
And that, you know, or maybe you want to keep your debt ratio below a certain number.
Yeah.
So your debt ratio be below 12%, for example, that'd be a very measurable goal that you can kind of track and make sure that you're staying on track to do that.
Yeah. No, those things are great. And those are just examples of kind of action steps that support that when you implement your statement of financial purpose. And then the next thing is like anything in life, track it.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, our feeling on that is that, you know, kind of, you definitely want to maybe have a come together, whether it's with your spouse or if you're single, just on your own, minimally every quarter, you know, to kind of review, hey, how are we doing on this? Have we finished up on some of our action steps? Do we need to go on to something next, you know, the next thing, right? And so by doing that, what you're doing is, number one, you don't leave it, right? You don't, you know, kind of next thing you know, you're off on some tangent, you're back to what you were doing before, right? And the other thing is it keeps you moving forward.
Right. Yeah, it allows you to review why this is important to you. Are you doing the things that you need to do, right, to help you get there? And then the other thing is, like, is that changing?
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, what your statement of financial purpose is today might not be that down the road.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So that's part of that review.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you very well could change it. And one thing I'll note on that is that, you know, just for people interested, we are, you know, kind of putting together, which should be available soon, a coaching program to deal with that kind of stuff and help with that and, you know, helping you develop those statements. And then we have some technology tools to help you with the tracking. And we think that's so important. Because not only just tracking, you know, how you're doing, but also having a history of where you've been.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to have success, it's always nice to look back and go, I am making progress.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you feel like you're not.
Well, because it's slow and incremental a lot of times. And so it's just like, well, you know, from last week, I didn't move the needle very much. But if I go back and look from a few years ago, it's like, whoa,
yeah.
I can't believe all that's been achieved. And I would have never even known I had done that much because I just thought it just happened by accident.
Yeah.
But it's not happening by accident.
Right.
Well, with all financial things, it's hard to stick to it, especially like it's like a budget, anything that you have that you know you need to be very focused on. It's easy to kind of get thrown off track for whatever reason. So for anybody that maybe has some problems sticking to their purpose, do you have any advice on maybe how to overcome straying away from it?
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this just a minute ago, but number one, always remember, things that don't create immediate gratification, you got to work harder to stick to. I mean, like we've talked about that.
Yeah. I mean, saving money or going to the gym. I mean, they're very similar, right? Because it just doesn't happen overnight. The impacts of those, you don't see immediately.
Right.
But when you stick to it, it can really, really help you in the long term.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what, like we talked about, create that system of quarterly reviews where you're looking at your statement, goals, and progress. And one thing that Brent and I have, you know, we've done this a long time. If you find you're having trouble, like sticking to it, there's a good chance you need to take a hard look at your statement of financial purpose because it may just not be quite right. And that's okay because life changes all the time.
Yeah, because, well, and you said that, like, just get something written down, like start somewhere. And I think that's an excellent point because if it's really your core value of what you're trying to do, it's important to you, right? Mm-hmm. And so by reading that and by trying to stick to it, it should mean enough to you that you want to stick with it.
Yeah.
Right? And if it's not, then go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what else is more important to you or what you're missing in that.
And by the way, I just want to comment on, don't ever feel bad if you're off course a little bit. I mean, we're human beings.
Right.
The point is the effort to continue to try to improve, right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of this. Don't, you know, I think people sometimes get discouraged with things and they just give up. They're like, I'm not doing that. It's not working. Understand we're human. Understand that we're all fighting the battle. We're trying to improve. And so don't do that. And, you know, just stick with it and give yourself a little bit of, you know, pat on the back for making the effort. Another thing that we think is great is, you know, find one of these financial coaching groups that supports this type of structure. Nothing better than other people on your side.
Right.
You know, there's lots of groups like that.
Yeah. I mean, a sense of community, people behind you encouraging you to do something is really powerful.
Yeah. I mean, you look at like a great example that's like, you know, with debt reduction is Dave Ramsey. You know, he's created a whole community.
Yeah.
You know, where he has helped people. And a lot of it's not, if it was all one-on-one, they wouldn't have near the success.
Yeah.
But the group together, along with like he talks about on his radio show, and people are like, I can do this.
Yeah. And they're celebrating the successes of other people. I can't remember what that call is, but people call, I paid down $120,000 of debt or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to hear, honestly.
Yes.
It's great.
Yep.
And so you do need people cheering for you and helping you move along.
You do. And use some, there's some simple tech tools out there. We have some that we use that really help you just kind of monitor and report on your journey. I mean, I think it's so important. We don't want something that takes a lot of time. We want simple tools that you don't have to put a ton of effort into, and you don't have to be on there every day tracking every dime. What we want to see at a high level is, are we really making, are we moving forward? Right. Are we making progress? And is it in alignment with what's most important to us?
Very good. Well, if you maybe are motivated to put this into place and take some action in your life, you can always reach out to Dan and Brent over at Avery Wealth via phone at 517-783-1695, or you can always log online at averywealth.com. Guys, before we close it out, I know we've covered quite a bit of information today, some very good information throughout the show. Can we just take a moment and summarize everything before we close it out?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, life's as crazy and busy as ever. You just need to recognize that. And if you, you know, understand that that is leading for a lot of people to poor financial well-being and relationship stress, you know, just do something about it. I mean, I hate to say, like, it's time to, like, make a change, right? So if you take some time to create that statement of financial purpose that's in alignment with your future financial decisions, it can be a serious game changer. And that's what we're looking for. And really, if you, you know, if you're like, hey, I need some help, join a financial coaching group. That could be the tipping point for you really, you know, exponentially increasing your, you know, your future net worth, your future financial independence. And that's a good thing. And remember, always keep in mind, things that don't have immediate gratification take some extra work and focus, but the rewards can be huge. And that's something to always remember. And if you're interested in a coaching program to help you along this, just give us a call, because we're putting something together. We feel like it can be really valuable for a lot of people. Get that statement of financial purpose in place. Figure out what action steps you should take next that are in alignment with that, and really change your life. So, you know, we're looking forward to talking with people that are interested in doing that, and hope you're not hesitant to pick up the phone and give us a call.
Outstanding. That number again, 517-783-1695, or find everything online at averywealth.com. All right, Dan and Brent, as always, thank you for your time today, and thank you for listening to The Retirement Cafe. Please hit subscribe, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training, and the content of this communication has not been approved or verified by the SEC or by any state securities authority. The information contained in this podcast is intended to provide general information about Avery Wealth and its services. It is not intended to offer investment advice. Investment advice will only be given after a client engages our services by executing the appropriate investment services agreement. Information regarding investment products and services are provided solely to read about our investment philosophy and our strategy. You should not rely on any information provided on our website in making investment decisions. Market data, articles, and other content in this podcast are based on generally available information and are believed to be reliable. Avery Wealth does not guarantee the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast. Avery Wealth will provide all prospective clients with a copy of our current form ADV Part 2A disclosure brochure prior to commencing an advisory relationship. However, at any time, you can view our current form ADV Part 2A at advisorinfo.sec.gov. In addition, you can contact us to request a hard copy.